Atterrissage.
Atterrissage.
From the spaceship.
We are very, very tired.
The travel was very hard. Okay.
You want a group massage?
Anyone who doesn't want a group massage?
This is spy.
Where is my... I brought a whole roll of paper. Now it's
here.
Paper.
Okay.
Here, look at this. Not very
elegant.
What happens
at the end of
the
So, welcome to Sci-Fi Anatomy Season 2, Episode 1. Season 1 was happening last year in the same space. And it's like TV series, sometimes you miss the first season and still, you know, they always make sure you can catch up any moment, so I will try to do that part of the job. So maybe I just explain a little bit of where this come from, how this idea came from. I'm very interested in, I always had a very big imagination. That we use to read the world, name the world, give a certain understanding of the situation we experience. What do we think is real? What do we think is a fiction? What kind of character or persona do we trust? What kind of persona do we question? For example, if no, I would tell you that I'm actually, this is a method that I developed and that is labelized. I spent 30 years on it and I have a scientific background on everything I'm going to tell you. Or am I actually totally insane and, you know, like, or am I a grandmother telling you storytelling to go to sleep? Or am I a scientific? Am I a teacher? Am I a guru? Am I, am I the president of Contact Improvisation Land? Like, and so I'm really interested in that, and also kind of how we can play with that range, and also how we can find also how we can relate to when someone tell something, it's always from a certain perspective, and how can we always find freedom in how we relate to that perspective from our own, where we are, what are our own narratives, because we all have very different narratives about how we imagining things, how we imagine touch, how we imagine encounter. We might have an amazing dance with someone and then we realize that they had a totally different imagination of what was happening. But in the moment you felt like, wow, we really understand each other. So it came a bit from all of this question and interest. And there is one thing I did last year and that I kept on developing and I got quite interested into it. And it's kind of a somatic guided trip that I'm just going to start to guide you through some imaginary. And there's going to be a lot of bullshit in it. So this is part of it. Take it, throw it away. But I would invite you to see, like, just to observe how you can, with what kind of state of mind, how can you take it? Like, can you take it with resistance? Can you see if I try to really believe that this is a pure truth, everything I'm telling you now is a pure truth, or what is if you go with a little bit of skepticism, or what? So you can really play with that, but also, like, there is no danger, like, like at the end of the day, like, I can promise, like, see how much risky you can be with also trying to believe another narrative than yours. and see what it makes or so. Yeah, so this is kind of the first proposition I wanted to do, and then I wanted to try to see how we can work with that kind of question when we also play with touch or with the dance, or what is the kind of sci-fi of touch we can have, or sci-fi of a dance.
Sci-fi?
Science fiction.
Can you define science fiction?
Can someone define science fiction, actually?
Science and fiction.
Science and fiction is one explanation.
Certified bullshit.
No, it's a way to... No, there is many definitions. It's a literature form, so in literature there is really many kind of science fiction. One sometimes only based on scientific value, that you make it bigger, so it become out of the concrete world, but it's growing from something rooted. It can be growing rooted in a political statement. It can be a way to create new worlds that you can build utopia, but rooted in reality. So it's kind of, it's very blurry between what is real and non-real, what is scientific and not. So it's like,
you didn't say the contrary.
What? No, you can read science fiction. It's super
nice. It often came from a base of very people who are really passionate about technology and imagined how that could develop in the next years or centuries, where to go and put that in a different context.
Lots of science fiction things have become
real. Exactly. Yeah. I mean,
nowadays it's really impressive. Yeah.
What's scary?
The first science fiction writer was Leonardo da Vinci.
Yes.
Ah. You say,
can you repeat?
The first science fiction creator was Leonardo da Vinci.
Mm. And probably he was not the first.
Yeah.
So acknowledged.
Actually, there is a Greek thing.
Why am I not surprised? You're
yeah, there was actually a quote that I was... I don't even remember exactly the quote, but there was a quote about that Einstein said something about, is not about knowing, but about the capacity to imagine intelligence. And I think this was something that I was really inspired by, this kind of... What is if we take the risk to imagine something that we maybe, like, don't have, like, a conclusion or a fear, but maybe something activate and then something... actually very real and true can, or feeling can come. So that was also one thing I was interested in.
Nowadays they call it manifestation skills.
Well, to make a remark on what Vera said, it's like sometimes I watch a science fiction movie and I'm like, did they know what was going to happen? Or because that they imagined that it's happening now?
Yeah.
So what was first then?
Yeah.
I think it's both at the same time, no?
Yeah. But if we think of the last world, the last space on Earth that is not really being discovered fully, is the human body. So it's connected that it's science fiction, because this is using imaginary metaphors to understand something that exists and we invest in it. So it's really part of it.
And because here is a very, I feel like we are, a lot of people are very specialized in imagining somatics, and like we work so much, there is such a culture of imagination, so I thought it can be very interesting to use these tools and be creative with it and play with it also. Mm. And I thought I have a little practice that I like to do, that could be nice as a kind of a way to enter our spaceship together, or whatever is the narration we have behind this. It might change a lot. And the exercise, you can also do it to just like breathing very slowly and taking your time if you're more wanting to do that. But the basic exercise is like a deep breathing. It's like 30 times. And then we're gonna breathe fully in and then we're going to breathe fully out and try to stay in apnea in this empty space, to kind of invite this apnea out and just be in this empty space there as long as you can. It's not a competition, but maybe your narration of it is a competition. This is your choice. And then when you feel like you want to when you want to breathe in, you breathe fully in, and then you hold your breath for about 10 seconds, and then you release.
I didn't get the last part.
So after you are in apnea, you breathe fully in, and then you hold the breath for 10, 15 seconds in the in-breath, and then we're going to normalize. We might do the cycle 2 times. So it's in a way to kind of oxygen a lot the brain, open all of this sinus here, activate the nervous system. Go deeper into the...
Don't sit on a basketball. You're destroying it.
What?
The basketball gets destroyed when you sit on it. Just to let you know. You make your decision yourself.
Is that like that?
Yeah. Yeah. You sit on a ball, it becomes an egg.
It's just...
No. Lower. <Lower. laughs>
Scared that. Could
but she can, if she moves around all the time...
Ah, the menace.
No, it's a size fiction.
So we can do it sitting, you can be lying. If it's too much for you, you can just do some slow breaths. And I will count for us. So I will say 30, we do a last one. And then I will say breathe fully in, breathe fully out. Apnea. And go.
Quick check here, we breathe together.
Yes, exactly. We try to breathe together on a rhythm. Yeah.
Should we open up the circle so everybody's in?
Yeah. And we also don't have to be in a circle, like if you want to. Yeah, it's not.
You go in the space?
Yeah, you can go in the space, just. Yeah. So, we're gonna start. And you can imagine that in every breath, and every breath in and out, we're just going to go a little bit deeper into the sea. So we're going to start our travel somewhere into the deep sea. And we start.
Thank you.
30. Breathe fully in.
And fully out. Your body is now floating around 10 meters under the sea. You can feel the water above you, under you, around you. You can feel the water inside your body. And everything you have been told about the way your anatomy is made, the materiality you're made of, it was a fiction. The concept of arm and legs was an invention. In this reality, you don't have bones. And the more you float into this sea, the more the consistency of your body is changing. Since I started to talk to you, 100 years have gone by. And the chemical consistency of your body has adapted and changed to its new environment. The percentage of water dropped to 95%.
the memories of solid structures has melted. Like a butter in a pan, your bones have melted, liquefied. The consistency of your flesh is every second melting a little bit more. And the place you used to call brain has taken a new autonomy. In this reality, your brain is actually a jellyfish. And the jellyfish is growing. And the jellyfish is multiplying himself inside your body. And the jellyfish is transparent. Inside the matrix of what we call a jellyfish is a growing another kind of beast. multiple tentacles start to grow. And 25 pairs of eyes. Every cell of this body, you have hypersensitive detectors. That allows you to feel the frequency and the presence of other living bodies. Kilometers away from you. Inside the body of this giant jellyfish is starting to grow a colony of sea worms. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of sea worms are moving inside the jellyfish. Every worm there is a small brain with its own agenda. So you basically just became a colony of sea worms inside a jellyfish. And the worms are hungry and they start to eat the flesh of the jellyfish. Of the jellyfish. And this flesh enters in their body. And they digest it. And they use all the nutrients and all the information that was inside the jellyfish.
and the worms start to grow bigger and stronger. Worms are not any kind of worms. They are artistic worms. So the memory of this worm is very, very creative and has his own imagination and creative energy and way to manifest. The interesting thing is that this creative force is not centralized in one location in your body, but it's spread in every part of this anatomy. And the frequency of their sinking is high-speed Wi-Fi. Of creative worms not only are hyper creative and very fast, but they are also very good collaborators. They have this capacity to team up very fast and work with each other. To travel
body as you know. And because those worms just can't stop eating, they just have to eat each other. And they start to eat the mushrooms. And they start to eat the curds a little bit more. And the more they eat, the bigger they get, the ones that survive. They become so big and fat that they even start to drink all the water that is in the ocean, like sponges. And they become really, really big and fat and heavy. And because they drink all the water that was in the ocean, they start to also feel that the law of gravity is working on the room. At this point, you reach about 500 kilos. And you became so big and fat, maybe instead of the brain you pour seven hearts. Communicate with them.
What?
What is your favorite director?
And it's epic.
What?
It's epic. Body start to melt.